Our scripture reading this morning comes once again from the book of Jude. Jude, the letter. Read the whole book. Jude. Verses 1 through 25, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves on the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in these last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from the book of Jude. As we read through this letter this morning, and as you focused in on Jude's doxology at the end, perhaps you noticed that Jude's letter begins and ends in a very similar way. Jude's letter begins with a description of the salvation of the believers, of the beloved of God. Jude, verse 1, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Jude's letter is written to those who have been called from sin and darkness, whom God has called by His Spirit to leave behind the sins of this world, to leave behind the darkness of sin, and to follow God and to believe in God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Those who have been called, Jude writes, and who are loved by God the Father. Now, in a previous sermon, I mentioned to you that the verb there, or the participle, loved, that is used, is in a tense that is not used in English. It's not that just God loved you in the past, or that God loved who He called in the present. It's not that God plans to love those whom He called in the future. But the perfect tense in Greek indicates that God has loved you in the past, and His love is ongoing. It doesn't stop. So those who have been called by God, who are believers in Christ, changed by His Spirit and His power, are loved by God perfectly and eternally. Loved in the past, loved in the present, loved in the future, and that love of God is for them ongoing. And finally, the third description was the word kept. Kept by Jesus Christ. Who is it that keeps the believer? Jesus Christ keeps you perfectly. Not that He kept the believer in the past and then it stops and He doesn't anymore. Not that He keeps you in the present, but He may not keep you in the future. God keeps you perfectly in the perfect tense, the same Greek tense for loved is used and kept. God has kept you in the past, He keeps you in the present, and He keeps you in the future. You are perfectly kept in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that person of the Godhead, is who keeps you in God's love and keeps you as one of those who is called. So Jude's letter starts out describing for all of us what salvation is rooted in. The salvation of the believer is rooted in God, rooted in His love. They are kept in Jesus Christ, not just for a period of time, but eternally and forever. And it is in this context that Jude writes his letter and gives his warning. He warns them in verse 3 that they need to contend for the faith, that the Word of God is being attacked, that the authority of God and His Word is being challenged. And he urges them to contend because certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among the beloved, among the believers. And His warning is for them to be careful lest they fall too. Now, throughout Jude, we've been working with this tension, haven't we? Jude starts out in the beginning describing salvation, that Jesus Christ is who keeps you. Yet he gives this urgent warning to contend for the faith. This urgent warning that believers need to take very seriously. But if you are kept in Jesus Christ, why give the warning? Well, notice again how Jude ends his letter. Verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is the one who keeps you? Well, we saw in verse 1, the Greek word kept is connected with Jesus Christ. Who is the one who is able to keep the believer? Jesus Christ. To him who is able to keep you from falling, verse 24, is to Jesus Christ, who keeps the believer from falling, from going down the path of sin and death. And Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection pays for your sins, so that he can present you, verse 24, before his glorious presence when he comes again, without fault and with great joy. How is this done, Jude reminds us in his doxology? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, verse 25, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ keeps the believer from falling. Jesus Christ gives you the power. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now notice something else about Jude's doxology. We mentioned a moment ago how the book of Jude begins and ends the same way. The eternal salvation described in verse 1, that those who are called and loved and kept is forever, is again reflected in the doxology that Jesus Christ is the one who keeps you, who keeps the believer safe in him. But notice the ending again. We said that throughout the book of Jude, he uses threes: called, loved, kept. The last three that Jude uses is at the end of verse 25. Before all ages, now, and forevermore. Do you see how Jude's doxology reflects the tenses of the participles in verse 1? He keeps you from falling. Jesus Christ, before all ages. He keeps you from falling now and forevermore. No one can snatch you from his hand. The believer belongs to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ keeps you. He keeps you safe from harm. Now those certain men, verse 3, verse 4, who have crept into the church are saying different things about Jesus Christ. The things they are saying is, number one, they are denying him. At the end of verse 4, they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. They're denying his power. They're denying that he is Lord. They speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, verse 10, speaking abusively against Scripture. Verse 16, they are grumblers and fault finders, grumblers against the Word of God, grumblers against what God's Word tells us. They find fault in God. They find fault in following the way of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, these dreamers, who dream up their own revelation, pollute their own bodies, they reject God's authority, and they slander celestial beings, heavenly beings, including Jesus Christ. So what does Jude say in his doxology? He knows that the certain men are within the church, and they are attacking Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ can do these very things. That Jesus Christ can indeed keep you forever, before all ages, now and forevermore. They are attacking that doctrine, attacking his power. So how does Jude conclude in his doxology? To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power and authority. Verse 25. The glory is his. He alone is worthy of that glory. The majesty of a king is given to him. He has all power. He has all authority. What qualifies Jesus Christ to keep you forever? because he indeed is all glorious, majestic, has all power and authority. And if no one can take you from his hand, then no one ever will. He alone has that power. And you are his as a believer in Christ. No matter what the certain men say. Well, that's a powerful conclusion, isn't it? It's a powerful comfort to the believers, to the church, to know that you are secure and safe in Jesus Christ, that if you belong to him, no one can snatch you away. You're safe. But you know, there are many people, many commentators, who see a lot of similarities between the book of Jude and the book of James. In fact, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Because in verse 1 we are told that Jude is the brother of James. And one of the points in the book of James chapter 2 is that faith without works is dead. Not that works save you, but you have to have faith. And once you have faith, how do we know that you have faith? James chapter 2, because your works flow out of your faith. Well, the word kept is used another time in the book of Jude. And one of those other places is in verse 21. Keep yourselves in God's love. You are told in verse 1 that you are kept perfectly in Jesus Christ. You are told in verse 24 that Jesus Christ is the one who keeps you from falling. Now you are told, in fact, commanded, verse 21, to keep yourselves in God's love. Last week we pointed out what that meant. Jude uses several verbs or several words to describe what believers are to do, but only one of those words in verses 20 to 21 is a command. Keep yourselves in God's love, an imperative command. And the command is that you would keep yourselves in God's love. Who is God's love? Jesus Christ. You see how it combines together the description in verse 1. You are kept by Jesus Christ and loved by God. Who keeps you in loved by God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who came down to this earth, who paid for your sins, who died on the cross. You need to keep yourself in him. And you keep yourself in him by having a passion for him. That he is the priority of your life. That you have more passion for him than anything else in the world. That you would rather be with him and pray to him and hear from him than anything else that you have in your life. Keeping yourselves in God's love. Why is that important? Because what did the doxology say? What did the beginning say? Jesus is who keeps you from falling. And how do you know whether you belong to Jesus and that he's keeping you? Because you're keeping yourselves in his love. The passion for Jesus Christ is radiant in your life. It shows. And how does it show? What are you doing? And that's where the rest of those participles, those verbal adjectives, fill in verses 20 to 21. You're building yourselves up in the most holy faith. That means you're reading God's word. That means you're coming to church and you're hearing God's word preached. You're praying in the Holy Spirit, not in the spirit of the certain men, which leads to destruction and death and sin. And you are anxiously waiting, verse 21, for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. You are anxiously waiting for his coming again. Because when Jesus comes again, you will clearly see and know his mercy. For the ungodly, verse 14, will be convicted for all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, in the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And they will go to the blackest darkness that has been reserved for them forever. Verse 13. A passion for Jesus Christ. What flows out of that is a desire to build up your faith. What flows out of that is a desire to pray to him and to pray in the Spirit of Christ, who prays for you and intercedes for you in heaven as your mediator. A passion for Jesus Christ is to recognize that you know he's coming back again and you understand his mercy. For when that day comes, you will see his mercy for you, the sinner, and that your sins are forgiven and that you are his forever. But you know, the word kept is used a fourth time in the book of Jude. We mentioned verse 1 concerning the believer. We mentioned verse 24 concerning the believer. We mentioned what flows out of being kept by him. How do we know you're kept by him? Verse 21, you're keeping yourselves in God's love. But the word kept is also used in verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, Jesus Christ, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the day, great day. The angels knew better. They had positions of authority. They abandoned their home, and they are kept in darkness forever, kept by Jesus Christ in darkness for judgment on that great day. He has all glory, majesty, power, and authority to do that. And as he keeps you in his arms, he keeps the ungodly in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. What is the difference between the believer who is kept in Jesus Christ and the one who is kept in darkness? Jude's made it pretty clear. You can tell the believer, the one who's kept in him, by their passion for the Lord, for their Savior. Throughout the rest of his letter, Jude has made a very clear case that you can tell who does it. Because their intention is not to love Jesus and not to love God. You see, in each example that Jude gives to us in verses 5 through 16, he gives examples of people who should know better. The Israelites, verse 5, who had been delivered out of Egypt, experienced manna each morning in the wilderness. They experienced the power of God in their deliverance from Egypt and their deliverance from the Amalekites. Yet when they came to the promised land, they didn't believe that God could save them from the Canaanites, and they rejected him. The angels, verse 6, privileged positions of authority, and they clearly rejected it. In verse 7, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had Lot telling them, "Do not harm these men." Yet they tried to break down the door. Cain should have known better, verse 11. He knew he should have made the right sacrifices like his brother Abel. Balaam was a prophet of God. He spoke God's word, yet he went the way of prophet. Korah experienced all those great things in the wilderness, yet he led a rebellion against Moses and was led, and the people that followed him went to their death. You see, each example that Jude uses is somebody that should have known better. It's somebody who was told or given a privilege in some way that they clearly, in what they did, rejected what God said. They rejected his authority. They rejected his salvation. They rejected his law, and they lived by their own natural instincts and desires. They grumbled. They found fault in God. They boasted about themselves. They flattered others for their own advantage. Verse 16. You see, the difference that Jude is setting up for us is how we can tell who's who. Those who are kept, you can tell by how they love Christ. Those who are not kept, who are kept in darkness, have clearly rejected God and his word. But we still come to a point about what of those in between? What of those who we're not sure of? Jude has urged them, verse 3, to contend for the faith. Part of the contending of the believer is building yourselves up in the faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in God's love. But it also has to do with contending for those who might be in between. So Jude tells us in verse 22, "Be merciful to those who doubt." These are those who perhaps come to church and know some things, but they haven't grasped it yet. They're not going the course of the certain men where they've rejected God. They're going down into sin. They're rejecting his authority and that God could save them and that God is powerful and will someday judge them. They haven't gone down that path. But when it comes to embracing the one who can keep them, Jesus Christ, they're still doubting. They're not sure that he's who people say they are. And so Jude tells us to be merciful to them, to show them the mercy of Christ, so that they may not doubt and embrace the only one who can keep them from that destruction. Snatch others from the fire, verse 23, and save them. There are some, perhaps, who come to church or don't, who don't know Christ. Right now, they're headed down the path of fire. Oh, maybe they're not the rebellious type. Maybe they don't go down this sinful path, living by their instincts like these other men who clearly have rejected God. But they don't have Christ. They don't have salvation. And they need to know him. And that's how they can be saved. But Jude also reminds us at the end of 22 that there are others that we need to show mercy mixed with fear. Why? Because we have to hate the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. On the outside, they don't look like they belong to God. On the outside, they do things which indicate that they aren't the Lord's. They haven't completely rejected Him, but their lifestyle does not show that they know Him. And you approach them with the mercy of Christ mixed with fear. Because you must hate what they look like, what they do, the clothing on the outside. Hate that enough that you can approach them with the mercy of Christ, fearfully realizing that you could do the same. But they need that mercy. They need the Savior, lest they too be kept for everlasting destruction. You see, Jude is laying it out for us very clear in his warning for the church. It's a letter for the church to contend for the faith. It's a comfort to the believers that your salvation is secure. It's a comfort because you can know and confirm in your heart that that salvation is secure because you have a passion for the Savior and everything that flows out of that. You can recognize those who are kept for destruction because they have clearly rejected God and they should know better given that opportunity. But it's also an exhortation to the church to contend for the faith and for those who are in between. Because they can only be saved by the mercy of Christ that comes to them. That mercy which is shown through the believers who have a passion for Christ. Jesus Christ alone can keep you. And if someone doesn't have Christ, he cannot be kept. His glory, His majesty, His power and authority is for all ages, now and forevermore. Let us embrace Him as our Savior forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Jude's warning and how it speaks to us. We thank You for the clear descriptions he gives to us of what it means to be kept by You. What should flow out of our life as we are kept. Help us, Lord, to show mercy mixed with fear to those around us who do not have You. Help us, Lord, to discern those who have not clearly rejected You, who seem to have good values, but do not have the Savior. Give us the strength to show them Your mercy, so that they may be snatched from the fire by You. We thank You, Lord, for keeping us. We thank You for the love which has come to us in the Savior. We thank You that eternally we have no fear. Stir in our hearts a desire to show Your love and Your presence in our lives each day that we live. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.